You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where the National Hunt game returns to Aintree. We've also got racing at Wincanton, Galway and Wexford to keep you entertained throughout the course of the day. Hope you can join us for all of it from 12:30pm on William Hill's Racing Radio. Sam Norris here. Joining me in the studio today is Andrew Mount to take a look ahead to Sunday's action and recap the best of Saturday's performances. First things first, Andrew, how the devil are you?
I'm okay, thank you, Sam. Not so bad. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I woke up with a rather sizable ulcer on my tongue this morning, which I could do without. But apart from that...
Oh, I bet you've woken up with worse, though, haven't you?
Indeed, yeah. I bet you wonder where that story was going.
I was worried for a moment. Yes. Especially when you said rather sizable.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But apart from that, all things considered, very good. Let's look back on some of Saturday's action first of all, Andrew. And we better start with the Racing Post Trophy and Aidan O'Brien, an unprecedented 26 Group or Grade 1 winners in a calendar year. A fabulous achievement. Obviously, there's been many newspaper columns dedicated to this over the past few weeks. But regardless of whether you've got access to the best sons and daughters of Galileo, regardless of whether you get given the best horses, which it's fair to say that he does, you've still got to go and train the things, and an absolutely phenomenal achievement.
It's an incredible achievement. It was a fine performance by horse, jockey and trainer. And it was a great finish as well, wasn't it?
Because it really was, yeah. What a way to do it.
All intents and purposes, though, John Gosden's Roaring Lion was living up to his name, coming down the middle of the track, and must have got to the front, and then started hanging. Ryan Moore sort of outrode Ocean Murphy, I think, in the closing stages, and galvanised his mount and got back up. I think there would have been a steward's inquiry had Roaring Lion held on.
Yes.
So it would have been a shame to see Aidan O'Brien break the record courtesy of the stewards, because he might well have lost the race, Roaring Lion, if he'd only won by a short head or so. But yeah, great stuff from the winner. And yeah, he might go on to smash the record with winners at the Breeders' Cup, of course.
Yes, and he's got a fair few entries at Saint-Cloud on Sunday as well. I think he holds four of the seven runners for one of two Group 1s on their card, so he could well beat that record with a bit of aplomb. As you mentioned there, Roaring Lion, impressive performance from the second, who was hanging badly in the closing stages. But Saxon Warrior has obviously catapulted himself to the head of classic betting for next season. Are you much of an anti-post punter, Andrew?
No, not nowadays. You know, occasionally in the week of the race, you know, when the decks come out for Saturday's racing on a Monday afternoon, and you know, big handicaps get priced up, I'm more likely to play on those.
Yeah.
But not so much on the classics.
I suppose, of course, there's the obvious problem that the horse might not make it, though. A lot can happen between now and the Derby.
And of course, in a race like the 2,000 Guineas, the draw can play a big part in it, and you know, they can. I remember Rock of Gibraltar's Guineas, they split into three separate groups. Mm. So there's factors like that. You don't know the ground, of course. And you know, unless you're sort of taking a punt at one, it's sort of 50 to 1 or 100 to 1, then I tend to sit it out.
Yes, but very much deserving of those quotes for the Derby in the 2000 Guineas. He's been impressive on all of his performances and beat what was a pretty decent field today. It was a strong renewal of the Racing Post Trophy.
Yeah, it certainly was. And that's three from three now for Saxon Warrior. And you know, he should be able to go on again, you'd think, as well. You know, a lot of his rivals had more experience in today's race. So, he's going to be another O'Brien dominance of the British Classics next season, I think.
Yes. He was very humble in his post-race interview as well. I'm sure you obviously won't have seen that being on Racing Radio at the time, but always seems keen to thank everyone involved in the operation, because he is a small cog in what is a massive, well-oiled machine with the Coolmore operation.
Don't believe that. He's the head honcho and he rules with an iron fist. No, he's very, very gracious in victory. As you say, keen to give credit to all his team. and well deserved. And well done to one of our listeners. I remember around about this time last year having an email saying, I've bet Aidan O'Brien to break the record next year. It was 16 to 1 or 25 to 1 or thereabouts. Okay. We were discussing whether it was a good bet, and we certainly said, in terms of the entertainment value you're going to get and the longevity of the bet, then it was certainly worth having. So he'll be celebrating tonight.
Absolutely. And the jump season is very much back as well. We've had a great couple of days racing at Cheltenham for the showcase meeting, and attention turns to Aintree on Sunday. It promises to be a good-looking card. Have you welcomed the jump season back with open arms?
Definitely, and this October Cheltenham meeting is really taken a step forward in the last few years. Some good prize money, some great fields. And I made a bit of a mistake, though. Yesterday, because of my Nigel Twiston Davis in October system, I put all his runners in a multiple bet.
Right.
Didn't do it today. And at the time of recording this, he's had Cogree win the first at 13-2. Foxdale Hill, at least I tipped that one up and did bet it singly, winning the 2 mile handicap chase from the front at 15-2. That was a fantastic performance. So an amazing jumper, Foxdale Hill. Got out in front and held on narrowly from Le Prezien, the very well back favourite for Paul Nichols, JP McManus. Yeah, Foxtail Hill was a horse that I lost a nice few quid on in January of this year when putting him up as a one to oppose at Kempton because he's much better left-handed. He managed to jump out to his left at every single fence, losing ground, but still won by 8 lengths at 9-2. But he won on trials day at Cheltenham later the same month, and was a faller at the festival when favourite of one of the handicaps. But really loves Cheltenham. Really goes well getting out in front, and it's not impossible he could do a Fox Norton and sort of progress into a graded performer with his jumping as he did today.
Yeah, cracking couple of days at Cheltenham, and record attendances as well for this meeting as well. Just over 13,000 attended on the Saturday, which is about 1,000 up from last year, which can only be a good thing.
All the Cheltenham off meetings seem to be well attended now. I mean, back in the day, I used to go to the New Year's Day meeting, and wasn't always as well as attended as it is now. They get massive, I think it's like 40,000 or thereabouts.
Massive. Mm. A meeting that I used to frequent quite a bit when I was when I was a young child, before I discovered the joys of alcohol the night before, and in which case New Year's Day had to take a back seat from then on.
Yeah, because I remember once or twice it was abandoned because of frost, which was always disappointing, waking up on New Year's Day and not being able to go racing.
Indeed. Let's look ahead to that card at Aintree then on Sunday. It is a fabulous looking card, and we've picked out two of the better races on the card, or rather Andrew has. We begin with the 150, which is a veterans handicap chase over 3 miles, a class two event. Decent pot on offer as ever for these veterans, and once again it's attracted a sizeable field. 16 of them go to post. They're massively popular, these kind of races, Andrew, and often throw up exciting finishes as well.
Definitely, and they're a really worthy addition to the race calendar, because a lot of these horses, say the minimum age requirement is a 10-year-old, so they've been running against well-handicapped younger individuals, perhaps not coming down the handicap because they're still running well without winning, and now they get the opportunity. I mentioned age there because backing the younger veterans, younger in inverted commas, is often the way to go in these races. And 10-year-olds have got a good record. 7 of the 9 winners of this race since it was introduced were aged 10. 2 of the others were 11-year-olds. And the system I like is to back 10-year-olds blind in these races that finish 6 or worse on their last start.
Okay.
Generally because they've been running in better races, graded company, dropping in class, underrated in the market because of that last time out form figure. And had you done this since 2006, 40 winners from 250 bets, 16% strike rate, profit of £99.70 to a £1 level stake.
Okay.
That's a 40% return on turnover. We've had one of these recently at Chepstow. I think there were 3 qualifiers on that day, and they included the well-backed winner. So but we've got 5 qualifiers in this race, though, which makes life a little bit tricky. The top weight Catco is interesting for David Pipe. Pipe himself is 7 from 21 with his 10-year-olds running in veteran chases, plus £21.75 for that 33% strike rate. But this one's tends to do best on soft or heavy going, 4 of his 5 wins on deep ground, the other on good to soft. So with it being described as good to soft in places, I think the conditions might be a little bit too quick for the top weight. And Tom George is another one who does well in veterans races, and so with his 10-year-olds, he's 4 from 15, plus £13.25. So I think I'm going to back 2 in this race. Call me Vic. who likes the Mildmay course at Aintree. Three runs here, second, first and a sixth. And the other one is having his first run for the yard, and that's the Romford Pelle. Used to be with Rebecca Curtis. Same ownership. This one used to come to hand early for his old yard. His first time out record, second, first, seventh when coming back from a break of a year, and first. So, you know, goes well after a layoff. He's a 10-year-old from a yard that does well in these particular races. So, yeah, the Romford Pelle and Call Me Vic, the two against the field in this fascinating veterans handicap chase.
Okay, two in that one for Andrew. I pulled the Romford Pelle out in the Grand National Sweepstake a couple of years ago. And he was unsuccessful on that occasion.
Right, big price, I think.
Yeah,
wasn't he?
And I've been annoyed by the horse ever since. Even though he had no rights in that national, it wasn't his fault. Two against the field then for Andrew in that 150. We go on to the feature race then on Sunday's card at Aintree, which is the 3 o'clock, the Grade Two Old Rowan Chase. It's a limited handicap over just shy of 2.5 miles. And again, a good looking renewal here with 13 that go to post. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, bigger field than usually contests this race. And named after is a Monet's Garden Old Rowan chase now, because Monet's Garden won this three times. A bold jumping grey who was a sight to behold when taking off over these fences. And first one of note here is Shantou Village for Neil Mulholland. Mulholland was really struggling for winners until very recently. Took a long while to get going. And the signs are that the yard's coming into form now, doing fine, ran a good third in the opener at Cheltenham on Saturday. And Shantou Village won all four completed starts last year, fell in the other at Wincanton. But in a recent interview with the Racing Post, Neil Mulholland said that he never had him right all year.
Okay.
So to still win four times from five when he was
never right.
But he reckons he has got him right for this season. And he's looking forward to a very good season with Shantou Village. So I certainly would have that in my calculations here. But I think I'm going to go for a bigger price one. We talked about Nigel Twiston Davis, how well he does in October. And Ballyboley would be a qualifier on that system. Now, he ran in a valuable handicap chase at Market Raisin last time. It was a 10-1 shot, but won that very well by four lengths from Guitar Pete under Daryl Jacob, wearing earplugs as he usually does. After that win on Officially Good to Soft Going, Connections said that they thought the ground had gone against him, was too soft at Galway the time before. And I think with two course wins to his name over hurdles, including in Grade 2 company, Ballyboley as an 8-year-old could put his big field experience and course form to good use here. And he could be a bit of value in the race.
Okay. Ballyboley then in the feature race at Aintree on Sunday. Thank you for that, Andrew. Just give us a quick recap, if you would, please, of your two selections on what looks a cracking Sunday card at Aintree.
Okay, in the Veterans Chase, the 150, I'm siding with the 10-year-olds and I'm going to split my stakes between the Tom George pair, the Romford Pelle and Call Me Vic. And then in a very competitive Old Rowan Chase at 3 o'clock, I'm going to go with a value. I think he's around about the 14-1 mark, and that's Ballyboley for inform Nigel Twiston Davis.
Excellent stuff. Hope you can join us on William Hill's Racing Radio on Sunday. We're live on air from 12:30 p.m. for the race meetings at Aintree, Wincanton, Galway and Wexford. Thank you for that, Andrew. Pleasure as ever and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.